1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, not in every man is there that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol, unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But I'm continuing reading this because I feel like, well, I better get his whole idea. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if a man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge, and through thy knowledge, shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh, while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Interesting scripture. So, this is something we don't even deal with in these days, and it's sort of, you have to take from it the general principles. Meaning, when you go to the butcher shop, you don't ask, there's no need to ask, was this meat? Did this come from the idol's temple? I mean, was, you know, because sometimes they would sell, you know, they would have, you know, like, let's say you're running a temple, you know, and people are bringing sacrifices. And the priests eat the offerings that are brought, but there's an overflow. And that would be, offered to the public for sale. And, but even, you know, in verse 10 he seems to be saying, you know, you could even possibly be eating in the place of the idol. Okay. So let's go back to verse 1. As touching, meaning, as touching is one word, it's just a preposition. It means, it's peri, it means concerning. Peri actually means like around, like periscope, like look around. Peri. So he's looking around, you know. So concerning things, that's what I like. Concerning or surrounding things offered to idols. We know that we have knowledge. We have a certain knowledge, he's saying. We know that an idol is nothing, right? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. There are many things, and this is a general principle I take from this. I'm sorry I'm taking so long to get to it, because I'm getting settled here. Knowledge. There's all kinds of knowledge you can get from the Bible. And this is biblical knowledge that he's giving you. You have knowledge that you could go and eat at the idol's temple. Right? And there's all kinds of other knowledges. In a general principle, knowledge is whatever you know, whatever you think you know. You know, he says, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. So that tells me I don't know anything the way I ought to know it. That's what it teaches me, for one. I do not have a perfection of knowledge. And when I think I do, it only goes to show I don't. And that's kind of the thing you go through when you grow up. You know, when you get to be 18, 19, even younger sometimes these days, you start thinking like you know everything. When you're 20, you start thinking you know everything. When you're 30, by the time you're 30, you think, I don't know anything, if you're wise. And by the time you're in your mid-30s, you think you know even less. Like, Paul, but you seem like you think you know a lot. I know that I don't know anything the way I ought to know it. You know, I was asked, what is your strongest suit? I've repeated this, but this, to me, my strongest point is that I know my weaknesses. I'm well aware, painfully aware. And, but you know what? I probably don't know my weaknesses as well as I ought to. And you talk about yourself. Well, I'm just, because I'm not going to hammer you. I use myself as an example. Examine yourself. I examine myself. Knowledge can inflate, meaning we know facts and so on and so forth. I used to have a certain knowledge from Scripture in my 20s, and it puffed me up. I knew who the Kenites were, and I have to go back to my history. I know, and these things may sound foreign to people, but I knew all kinds of doctrines out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. I knew there was no rapture. Oh, I knew that. And I don't believe in the rapture doctrine. I don't believe we're going to go flying out of here at any moment, okay? I have knowledge about Genesis, and I have knowledge about the Gospels. And there's all kinds of knowledge. Now, knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it is what brings us to salvation. Because how do you, people say, well, Paul, knowledge doesn't save you. Faith saves you. Well, how do you have faith? There's got to be some sort of knowledge that comes to you, whether it be a promise, a gift, or something, but you have to know it. You know, add your faith virtue to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge is an integral part of what gets added on your faith. And remember we talked about how to add your faith virtue to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, kindness, kindness, love, right? That's like, they're all built on each other, because love can't exist without patience. Love can't exist without knowledge. But knowledge alone, without love, because you can have knowledge without having love. See, that's the difference. You can't have true love, perfect love, without all those other things.